So guys, do we have any golfers out there? Do we have even some mini golfers out there? This past week was the perfect week for golf, and I'm not a very good golfer. In fact, I'm a very bad golfer, but it was so beautiful. I had to get out. I had an opportunity to go out to a small course. Nobody else was out there, and so I grabbed three other pastors from our staff, and let me tell you who they were. Their first was me. I've been here almost 30 years at Valley Church, and then we had another Valley Church veteran pastor, Linton Lundeen. He's been here 28 years. And then we had two brand new guys, and I want to introduce you to them. First is Rob Lighthizer, his wife Megan, and their precious children. And Rob was coming on. He told us he only golfs once a year, and he's not really that good. And then finally, Nick Vanderswag, his wife Kelsey, and their two great kids. Nick told us he's only golfed once before in his entire life. So this is the foursome, okay? And it's the perfect foursome because none of us are any good. And I start off by telling the guys, okay, here it is. Here's the rules. First is best ball. Whoever hits the best shot will take it from there. Second, we play M&M rules. That means multiple mulligans. So this may mean you get two, three tee shots, or even out in the fairway, multiple opportunities, multiple mulligans. And then finally, we play a particular type of golf that I call Teg War, T-E-G-G-W-A-R, which stands for the exciting golf game without any rules. That means we just make it up as we go. And so we don't play by any real specific, course rules or anything. We just get out there and have fun. And the whole goal of this was just to have a blast and to get to know these new guys and to welcome them and just to have camaraderie on a beautiful day and have a great game of golf. I need to tell you guys, it was hysterical. We had multiple mulligans on multiple times. None of us golfed particularly well. I will say, Nick, for his second time ever golfing, actually was really impressive. And Rob, he really is natural. Linton, he gets the job done, and then there's me, and I'm just a really bad golfer. I get out like three or four times a year, and guess what? Over the years, I get out, I've been dozens and dozens of times now, and now after all these years, I'm about the same as I was when I started. So anyway, but the goal of it was not to have a great round of golf. The goal, the mission was to have a great round of camaraderie, and mission accomplished. We got it done, guys. It was pretty ugly, but it worked. And guys, I want to just take that and just say God has a mission for us as a church, and God has a mission for your life and for mine. And our mission here at Valley is mobilizing everyone's God-given potential to deeply love Christ and their neighbors. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to make you the very best disciple of Jesus that you can be. He wants to do also sorts of incredible things in your life. He wants you to be spiritually growing. He also wants you to have spiritual influence. And so I want to take us, we're just starting this brand new series in the book of Acts, which is a record of the early church. It followed the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the historian, physician, pens a second volume called the Book of Acts or the Acts of the Apostles. We're just getting started. And guys, if you haven't grabbed one, you can stop by at any time the church office and grab one of these journals. And we're going to make our way through the Book of Acts. We're going to be in the Book of Acts for months. And it's an exciting book. It's a book filled with adventure. So if you like action and adventure, this is the book for you. And it's also incredibly practical. So today I want to talk about the mission God has for us and that he's going to get his mission accomplished. He is. God is unstoppable. It's not so much that we're great, we're not, but God is great and God is powerful and God is good. And for that reason, he is unstoppable, the mission is unstoppable, the church is unstoppable, and you, by the grace and power of Jesus Christ, you are unstoppable. I want to go back to last weekend when we started off the book and look at verse chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus is about to be ascended into heaven, and he says to his disciples gathered there, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And he gives them this mind-blowing mission. There's just 120 of them. They're just a small group. He says, you're going to take this good news of mine, and you're going to be a spiritual movement for good. And you're going to take it from little old Jerusalem all the way to the rest of the ends of the earth. And we've seen that reality. We see it in the book of Acts. Within 33 years, they've gone 10,000 miles or more, and they're just taking the good news everywhere. Millions of people come to faith in Jesus Christ in just the first few years of the church. And that mission has continued on, where people are growing up in Christ and also reaching others with the good news of Jesus. But like our golf game, it doesn't always look pretty. The mission is clear, but sometimes it gets kind of crazy. It's not always going to look pretty, but the mission will be accomplished. I want to tell you, in the 1400s, there was an English pastor who coined a new phrase. And what the new phrase was, he said, God can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick. And if we were to kind of put that in modern English, it would be this: God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. God has things he's going to accomplish, and he can accomplish them, and he can take it from point A to point B, but oftentimes he uses crooked sticks. That is, imperfect people, imperfect situations, things that look like a mess, things that are even bad. God brings them together, and he draws a straight line with a crooked stick. God wants to do something in your life today. And sometimes you're wondering, what in the world's going on? I mean, with everything that's happened this past few months, and you're thinking to yourself, can God ever work this mess out? Can God make anything good out of the situation that I'm in? Can God actually use me to grow me up in my faith, to love my family, or to build relationships, to raise kids, whatever that is, to form Christ in me? And can God use me to be a spiritual influence on others? Can he ever use the very imperfect people of God called the church? And I'm here today to encourage you and to give you a fresh dose of optimism and confidence that God is unstoppable. And you don't have to be haunted by your past, troubled in your present, or uncertain about your future. The book of Acts takes a highly uncertain situation with very flawed people, and empowered by the Spirit of God, this group of people turn the world upside down. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Note here that he does not say, I hope you will receive power, or I think you will be my witnesses. Jesus Christ gives the promise, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So guys, we come to chapter 1, verse 12, and we're going to dive into this. But before we get to the rest of the story, here's the situation. 10 days happened between the ascension of Jesus into heaven, we looked at last week, and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which we will look at next weekend on Vision Weekend, all right? And that 10 days is waiting period, and so that's where we are today. And it might seem like not much is going on, but there's more than meets the eye here. And so what we get in these 10 days is they're waiting on God in prayer in the upper room, and they need to choose a successor for Judas, who has betrayed Jesus, so they can have the full complement of 12 apostles. But here's the first thing I'm going to learn, that how God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. Here we go. First principle: God works through all kinds of imperfect followers. Like me, like you. Here's what it says, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they arrived, they went to the room upstairs. So that's that upper room. I've been there, guys. I've actually been in that room. And when they arrived, they went to this room upstairs where they were staying. And then you get the roll call. Here are all the 11 apostles: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, not Judas Iscariot. They were all continually united in prayer, along with the women, and including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brother. So you got this collection of about 120 followers of Jesus together in the upper room. And I want to just talk about the apostles here for a minute. So here's a photo of the 12 apostles with Jesus. And this is not an actual photo from 2,000 years ago. This is from a film. But there they are, and Jesus chose them all. But they were quite a collection of people. And I just encourage you, think of the people that Jesus called to be his followers who would turn the world upside down. There's Peter. He's this dynamic, strong guy, bold leader, but he has a foot-shaped mouth. He's constantly putting his foot in his mouth. He's too impulsive. He's too eager. He's charging ahead without thinking first. And there's some of us like that, you know? We get type A personalities. God uses them. And then there's James and John. Jesus actually nicknamed these guys the Sons of Thunder because they were big talkers. They made a lot of noise. At one point, they send their mom to ask Jesus if they can be the top two guys in his kingdom because they wanted to be the greatest. I mean, these guys they got problems with ego. And at one point, they see some people that are not doing the mission of Jesus the way they would do it. And they ask Jesus, should we call fire down from heaven to consume them and destroy them? And Jesus is just shaking his head. And he's like, no, you are crazy. That's a marginal reading. But James and John were just loose cannons. But God transformed them. And then there's Andrew, who's Simon Peter's little brother, kind of a quiet guy behind the scenes. So God uses people like that. We got Philip, who's kind of the analytical type, kind of the accountant of the group. So sometimes people that think just very earthbound sort of thinking, not really thinking that God can do supernatural things. Maybe that's you. Maybe you have a hard time trusting God for big things that seem improbable. Well, that's Philip. And then there's Thomas, and you know Thomas, he's known as Doubting Thomas. He was kind of the Debbie Downer of the group. He was kind of pessimistic. Matthew was a tax collector. I mean, he was a Roman collaborator, total sellout. And then with him, you get Simon the Zealot. I mean, they're on opposite ends of the political spectrum. Matthew is a total government, puppet, who's just collecting taxes from the Jewish people and making himself rich. So he's a traitor to the cause, for he's a Jew himself. And then there's Simon the Zealot, who's like super anti-Romans, wants to overthrow them violently. And Jesus picks both of those guys to be brothers among the 12 disciples. And I bet he made them roommates. And on it goes. We have a description of women that Jesus elevated in the first century, their status. And wherever Jesus went and his apostles went, the status of women were elevated. Jesus' mother, Mary, is mentioned here as well. Jesus' brothers as well. And you look at them just from a human standpoint, and it's like, this is a movement that is doomed to fail. I mean, these are fishermen. They're just kind of nobodies. A lot of them didn't have great education. And I was like, how is God going to turn the world upside down with these folks? But guys, what did I say? God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. And sometimes, usually, actually always, he uses imperfect followers. And a great variety of them with all kinds of personalities and backgrounds. And that's one of the things I love about Valley Church. We got this huge spectrum of people among the 4,000 plus people who call Valley Church their home. And we all got our strengths and weaknesses. We all have our perspectives on stuff, politics and what we should do about the pandemic and how we should think about all sorts of opportunities. And guys, we got opinions. You're not going to get 4,000 people together not having opinions. But look, over the past 30 years, Valley Church has learned to major on the majors, because what unites us is so far much greater than what would ever separate us. And we come together on the essentials of the faith, and then we wait on God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, and he transforms us, and somehow he uses imperfect followers like me and like you, And he's doing a great work here in West Des Moines, Iowa. We love our community. We love each other. We work together, and God is at work. So I wonder if you're thinking, can God use me? Can God use the chaos of this moment? And the answer is yes, because he uses all kinds of imperfect followers. Don't get down on yourself. I'm not saying to be a crooked stick. I'm not saying it doesn't matter how you live your life. It does, and there are consequences for it. I'm certainly not condoning sin or evil behavior or incompetence. Not at all. But what I want to do is give you encouragement that, you know, you are not perfect and neither am I, but God can still use you. And you may have a very different personality from this person or this person. You may have different gifts and abilities, and you do. And God brings them all together, just like he did those early disciples. And they changed the world. The Holy Spirit is at work in people, and the Holy Spirit is at work in you. As you raise your kids, as you love your friends, as you build your life group, as you generously give, as you spiritually influence others in our community, as you love your neighbors, God is using you, and he will continue to do so. This was a diverse group, and God uses diverse groups of people to get his job done. And what was notable about them, look what it says at the end of verse 14. They were all continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So they were united. They got along together. They majored on the majors, and they prayed, and they sought God's guidance, and they trusted in the Holy Spirit, and God used them. They were bonded together. And guys, I want to tell you this. It's so important that we stay united in Christ. There's so many things that could tear us apart. But for 30 years, Valley Church has been a united church. I want to challenge you. Let's stay united and let's be the church. Now, I'm very grateful in this coronavirus that we can stay connected this way. Because the technology that we have, we can continue to do so. But I do look forward to the day when there's no further concerns and the health concerns are mitigated and they're lessened and we're all able to gather together, to assemble together as God's church. And so I look forward to that today because that's really God's will for us. In the meantime, we'll use this sort of technology to stay connected to one another. God bless you guys for sticking with us. And let's be the church. Let's stick together. Let's be together. Let's be united. Let's pray together. And God uses all kinds. And God will bless you as you join him in this mission. Okay, so God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. Second thing I learned from this passage is this, that God works through bad people and bad circumstances. Now, very quickly here, we're going to look at a little passage in verse 15. It says, in those days, Peter stood up among the brothers and sisters. The number of people who were together was about 120 and said, brothers and sisters, it was necessary that the scripture be fulfilled. So God had an eternal plan that the Holy Spirit through the mouth of David foretold about Judas, that's the traitor, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was one of our number and shared in this ministry. I think there was a note of melancholy there and sadness. Now this man acquired a field with his unrighteous wages. He fell, and so Judas, they used the money that he had gotten for betraying Jesus, and they bought a field. He said, and Judas went to that field, and he hanged himself. And perhaps when they cut him down, it says he fell head first, his body burst open, and his intestines spilled out. Welcome to worship at Valley Church. This became known to all the residents of Jerusalem, so that in their own language, that field is called Hakeldama, that is, field of blood. It was a bloody place. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling become desolate, let no one live in it. And let someone else take his position. Now, in spite of the very serious nature of this, there's great encouragement here, guys. And the encouragement is that God uses, he works through even bad, very evil people and bad circumstances. Not condoning them, not approving them. But God is sovereign. And nothing happens outside of his plan and his control. Judas was an incredibly tragic story. He was chosen as part of the original 12, but he had character flaws. He was greedy. He stole things from the treasury that the apostles had. He was dishonest, and he was a hypocrite. And finally, he betrayed Jesus for 30 silver coins. Satan then entered Judas, and he led an armed force to arrest Jesus. And he betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. Later, shortly thereafter, he was seized with remorse and he killed himself in the field that today is still known as Hakeldama, or the Field of Blood. In this tragic story, we find out that God is absolutely sovereign and he uses the bad for the sake of his kingdom. Peter says scripture had to be fulfilled. Look at verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up. The number of people was 120. He says, brothers and sisters, it was necessary that the scripture be fulfilled. This was all in the plan of God. Now, he goes on. He says that the Holy Spirit through the mouth of David foretold about Judas. And then he goes on in verse 18. He says, don't misunderstand God's sovereignty. Don't think that it means that because God, it was in the plan of God and that God is sovereign, that Judas is off the hook. No, because we learn in verse 18, the field was acquired with his unrighteous wages. He took his own life. It calls it his wickedness, the unrighteous wages of betraying Jesus. It was Judas's money, and the chief priest used it to buy a field in his name. And in his very own field, he hanged himself. He fell headlong. Perhaps it was cut down, the weight of his body broke the branch of the tree. So this was a terribly sad situation. It was evil that he betrayed Jesus with remorse. He was an evil man, and sometimes even the best of people come to the end of their wits, and they take their own lives. It's a tragedy. But God can still use tragedies, and he can still bring good even out of really bad, terribly sad situations. And God used all the evil for good. And that's one of the mysteries, guys, of Christianity, that somehow God used the evil of Judas's betrayal to take our Savior to the cross. It was part of the plan of God, and God is able sovereignly. Yes, he's totally sovereign, but yet Judas is accountable for his choices and of betraying Jesus. But God used the evil. Judas meant it for evil, but God used it for good to lead our Savior to the cross, where he gave his life for us on the cross to take away our sins. And then God raised him from the dead because death could not hold him. That's the centrality of the Christian faith. So guys, God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. For as written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling become desolate, let no one live in it. Today, that field is a cemetery. No one lives there. Let someone else take his position. Someone else is going to replace Judas. And what I learned from this, guys, and what I learned is in the sorrow of your situation, in the evil that you may face, that we may face, in the tragedy of perhaps someone who makes terrible choices, or in their sorrow, even to the point of taking their own life, and all the other lesser tragedies of life, God can still use those for good. It doesn't say that they were good, they were not good, they were tragic, or they were evil. But God is still sovereign. And so today we have trust in God, faith in God, stability in God, calmness in God, and still have vision that God can work. None of this surprised God 2,000 years ago. And what's happening today in our culture and our community, none of that surprised God either. He's not freaking out. What happened here? I totally caught me off guard, this pandemic. Not at all. God is still sovereign. He's totally in control. And guys, that should just give us tremendous confidence and optimism. We don't know what things are going to happen in our culture, but the movement of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. And long after all the history is written, the church of Jesus Christ will still remain. So there was a bad situation here in the book of Acts. and there may be a bad situation in your life. But here's what God does. He takes the garbage of our lives and he calls upon you and me to put them in the recycling bin. Through prayer and through faith in God, to put that garbage into the recycling bin of God and let him recycle that and use that into something that eventually can become good and holy and move his movement in your life, in your character, in your family, in your relationships, and in your spiritual influence, move it forward in a beautiful way. He can recycle really garbage things and make them beautiful again. That's the act of faith. And then finally, guys, God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. Thirdly, God works through the unusual, the unexpected, and the unknown. Guys, crazy thing happened this week. As a Cubs fan, a while back, a pitcher by the name of Alec Mills threw a no-hitter. Here's his picture. There he is. And the crazy thing is how Alec Mills got to the major leagues. I saw him pitch, some of you did, at the Iowa Cubs. He was played in Des Moines last season. But when he was in college, he didn't even get a scholarship to play baseball. He was a student at the University of Tennessee at Martin. And he was walking past the baseball field where the team was starting to practice. And he thought, you know, maybe I'm good enough to make the team. He approached the manager of the college baseball team, and he says, would you give me a tryout? He walked on. He made the team. He kept improving. Eventually, he was drafted in the major leagues. But get this. He was drafted in the 22nd round. He was the 673rd pick in the major league draft. And it took him 7 years to make it through the minor leagues into the major leagues. But just a few days ago, Alec Mills took the mound, and he pitched a no-hitter, which is a rare occurrence in baseball. He allowed the other team, the Milwaukee Brewers, no hits and no runs over 9 innings. He became a part of history. And they asked him in the interview after the game, if someone had told you back when you were walking on at University of Tennessee at Martin that just like 10 years later, you'd be pitching a no-hitter in the major leagues, what would you have told him? And I love his response. He said, I would have told them, you're crazy. It's a great story, guys. But that's what God does, too. God takes the unusual, the unexpected route, and he takes unknown people to accomplish his ways and his mission in the world. Look at verse 21. Therefore, from among the men who have accompanied us during the whole time, the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. We're going to pick a successor now, to Judas. Beginning from the baptism of John, when we started, until the day he was taken up from us, the ascension. From among these, it is necessary that one become a witness with us of his resurrection. We need to restore the position of Judas, so we have 12 apostles. And so they proposed two who fit those qualifications. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also known as Justice. So Joseph, Barsabbas, Justice. Sounds like a law firm to me. And then Matthias. And then they prayed. They said, you, Lord, know everyone's hearts. Show which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this apostolic ministry that Judas left to go where he belongs. And then they cast lots for them. And the lot fell to Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. So guys, they had two qualified people. They didn't know who to choose. Jesus had chosen the other 11. And they said, we honestly don't feel comfortable picking the 12, but here are two. And they used a revered Old Testament method of just throwing a lot, and the lot fell to Matthias. It's the last time that lot method was ever used among the people of God. I think because the Holy Spirit came a few days later, and they would now have the Holy Spirit within them to guide them. But in that moment, after their prayer, God showed up, honored that prayer, and Matthias was chosen to be one, the 12th apostle. Crazy thing is, he was a total unknown to us, and that is the last time you ever see Matthias's name in the Bible. He's a complete unknown to us before then, and he's a complete unknown to us after then in the pages of Scripture. But guys, there's also other 12 apostles that you never hear from again. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is in this episode. She's never heard from again in the rest of the Bible. We do know more about those apostles and Mary after those days, at least from a tradition. And here's what we know about Matthias. He would eventually go on to the Eastern Europe and Asia, and he would take the good news of Jesus. Eventually, he too would be martyred for his faith, just as almost all of the 12 apostles. God used him, a complete unknown to us, but not to the heart of God. He uses the very unexpected ways with this crazy, terrible, evil thing that Judas did. And he took an unusual route to get there and an unusual method. But that's what God does. He uses unknowns like me and like you. I mean, when the history book is written, what are they going to say about Quentin Steve? They're going to say absolutely nothing because I'm not going to be in the history books. But God uses unknowns and unexpected people to still accomplish his will. And I want to encourage you today. I don't care what your gifts or abilities are. I don't care how confident you are. I don't care what personality you have or what perspectives you may have. If you devote yourself to being a follower of Jesus Christ and you're willing to say, put me in, coach, put me in, Lord, God will use you. And he delights to use unexpected people to make his impact. I want to encourage you to put yourself in the game, and I want to encourage you, we're going to look at a short clip of the Good for All conference, and I want to once again encourage you to sign up for this, because no matter who you are, God can use the training you will receive in this to make an impact in loving our neighbors and our community and sharing the good news of Jesus. So check out this video about the upcoming conference.
What would our world look like if we saw people the way Jesus sees them? We truly loved people with no strings attached. We genuinely want to reach out and love our communities. We want to build bridges of compassion and kindness and to offer the good news of Jesus. How can we do that in today's world? Good for All Conference Express is a chance to gather together to learn how to deeply love our neighbors and dream big about what God has next for you and your church as you seek to love those around you. Join us as we learn how we can love our communities better and share the gospel winsomely and effectively. Be inspired by world-class speakers like Rebecca Lyons, author and co-founder of Q Ideas, Gabe Lyons, author and co-founder of Catalyst and Q Ideas, Joe Saxton, author, speaker, and leadership coach, Kevin Harney, co-founder of Organic Outreach, Craig Springer, executive director of Alpha USA, and many more. We are excited to offer an online streaming option for only $29. This online experience will include all main stage sessions, selected breakouts, and on-demand access to those sessions and breakouts after the conference. You do not want to miss out, so register today to secure your spot at this phenomenal event.
So guys, if you want to get signed up for that, it's easy. It's coming soon, guys. October 1st and 2nd. We'll be here before you know it. Text GOOD to 515-644-1021, and that slide will be up at the end of the message for you as well. Guys, I love this passage. It's not one of those highlight passages that just, you know, is stuck up on your refrigerator the 10 days between the Ascension and Pentecost when they picked the replacement of Judas. It's probably not most people's top 10 list of their favorite passages of Scripture. But I love what it teaches us. And that is, again, once more, God draws straight lines with crooked sticks. He uses imperfect people like me. He uses bad circumstances, and he uses unknown and unexpected and unusual methods to accomplish his mission. And I just want to encourage you, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and when we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, not because of us, but because of him, guys, we are unstoppable. Father in heaven, thank you for this encouraging passage of Scripture tucked away in the book of Acts. And I pray that there would be incredible encouragement and hope coming from somebody out there today who's hearing this message, who's taking it in, and just say, Lord, I want to be a part of that movement. I want to see you do great things in my heart. Start first in my character, in my integrity, in my own spiritual growth. Help me to grow. But also put me in to love my friends and the body of Christ well. Use me and my gifts and abilities, whatever they are, to love my neighbors and my community. And use me, God, as imperfect and as flawed as I am, to make a difference and to carry your mission forward. And thank you, Lord, that you are unstoppable, that nothing can stop the Lord Almighty. In your name I pray. And everybody agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. You have a great week.